Now, we take you back to the night of June 8th, 2001, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
All right, the Shadow People, a six-day remote viewing project. Once again, here is Major Ed Names. Ed, welcome back.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Shadow People.
Well, when we, as remote viewers, when we tackle a project, Art, it's much better to have a chain of custody, to achieve chain of custody against a discrete target.
Of course.
By that, what I did in the case of Shadow People, after screening many of the examples and looking at the similarities, I chose one specific moment, one event, as my target that was representative of a wide class of phenomena. Now, what I mean by this is that all of the Shadow People related emails that I was sent, and many of them were forwarded from you, they, not all of them were necessarily the same phenomenon. There were different classes of phenomena, but most of them were these two-dimensional shadow-like forms that were moving along walls. That's the type, that's the class of phenomenon that I chose to concentrate on, and the one I think that you mean when you talk about shadow forms. It was the majority of the emails. So the specific target that I chose was an event that was described by someone who emailed you, and you posted, I think Keith posted this letter on your website on the 29th of May from a former Ranger.
Oh, yes. Ranger. Yes, yes.
And so, because I guess a comrade in arms, former comrade in arms, spotting one of these, and Rangers don't lie. So I chose this as a specific example, where someone who really wondered what he saw.
Sure.
And what he saw was this true shadow person, something moving along the wall, disappearing into the corner.
Right.
Disturbed him. What a shadow form is, Art, is just that. It is a shadow. Nothing more. It does not have a mind of its own. It's a shadow. Do you know what it's a shadow of?
No, that's the big question. What is it a shadow of?
Well, in order to have a shadow, you have to have backlighting,
right?
That's right.
Yes, of course.
It's a shadow of a ghost.
A shadow of a ghost?
Yes, the shadow of a ghost. There's a ghost present that is backlit. The ghost is interfering with space. So, therefore, it interferes with light. Light doesn't pass through it like it does the rest of the room. There's a ghost present when you have a shadow form on the wall. But people are attracted to the shadow because it's black and dark.
How about because it's what we can see?
Well, it's the thing that you can see most.
And I'm not saying that people don't occasionally see ghosts, but
well,
maybe they more occasionally see the shadow of ghosts.
Almost always they see the shadow, which really begs the point. It appears, and in my work here, I realize now that from all of these reports, that ghost must be a much more common phenomena than we think. I'm now turning my studies to...
Yeah, I understand. Ed, I'm curious. I sent emails your way last time we had a program. I sent you email Ed. How many emails did you get?
I got about 200, 300, something like that.
Yeah, there you are. From one night of show, 200 or 300 emails. So it's a really, really common... I got thousands of emails, Ed. It's an incredibly common phenomenon now.
But this means... for the people who have really seen this shadow form on a wall, that there really is a ghost, what we call a ghost present. I don't mean poltergeist, I mean a ghost. And the ghost is interfering with light. There has to be backlighting. In other words, you're not going to see a shadow form if there's no light.
Would you like to define ghost for me? Is a ghost, in your estimation, the remnants, the soul, or the spirit of what once was a human?
Art, I don't know yet. I honestly don't know. I now want to know. I'm so fascinated with the phenomenon itself. Now that I've found out what these shadow forms are, now my attention is naturally drawn. It begs the question, what is a ghost? And I'd really like to find out. I do know one thing, though, as a result of the last day's work on this project a couple of days ago when I resolved this, what these images were. Ghosts do not have a mind. They are not connected with a mind. They're just an energetic presence.
An energetic presence.
So, and how they arise, I do not know. And number two is, I would like there was a project. Let me digress here for a moment. A number of years ago, a very prominent figure hired me to put together a scientific team and go to a place where remote viewing had determined was a very hot zone for UFO activity,
right,
so that we could set up instrumentation and validate the existence of the phenomenon and perhaps record some parameters.
Right.
I would like to do that, to use remote viewing to not only to describe the conditions under which ghosts, whatever they are, appear, the energetics behind their appearance, and to set up the equipment to actually measure that, to actually.
All right. Well,
I don't want to say trap or bait them, but maybe we can do that too.
All right. I still haven't fully figured out. In other words, to have a shadow, you have to have, at least as we understand shadows, you have to have form, right?
That's correct.
But in this case, we appear to have the shadow without form. That is to say, the solid form producing the shadow.
It's not a solid form, Art, but it is something that is interfering with the passage of light. It's an energy presence. It actually is an energy presence. Think of a bunch of neutrinos that were just kind of loosely scattered in the room. The light would hit them, and then it would create all kinds of optical effects that would result in the shadow, right?
A lot of people have been saying, one of the letters that I found very compelling, Ed, was somebody who said that he has begun to see them. And that he works with high frame rate, high-tech stuff, you know, TVs running or monitors running very high frame rates, and that he believes that this actually accounts for people beginning to see what they have not previously seen.
I think that this might be the ticket. We've noticed that Jose Escamilla has suggested that a similar effect.
You're darn right.
The result of all of a sudden rods are popping up on film too, because we have technology that's fast enough to record these images. In fact, I can't speak about it because it's classified, but some of our photo reconnaissance satellites in the 80s and 90s were picking up. The cameras were very fast in the old satellites. The KH satellites.
That's right.
And they were picking up on a couple of frames these glowing objects,
oh,
UFOs.
Oh, really?
Yes. Now, the reason the American public is not privy to those objects are mostly because it would show what we're interested in terms of a military target, and with the giveaway. Although it's kind of antiquated now, it's still classified. It would give away the operational capabilities of the cameras. In those days, we have much more sophisticated systems now. Nevertheless, the most that the American public could get would be a sketch, an artist's rendition of what one of those things looked like that was captured on a.
I'm not clear though, Ed, on how something without form produces what you call a real shadow. It's energy that is at a frequency that we're not seeing. This, in quotes, ghost. That's producing the shadow.
It's just outside the bandwidth of human vision. In fact, birds and dogs can pick up. It seems the artifact of the presence, the signature of the presence of one of these other ghosts.
Oh, I think that's absolutely correct. Yes,
appears to bleed into the low ultraviolet. So that you can just barely detect it out of the corner of your eye.
Uh-huh.
And it's interfering with, it's actually, because there's a presence there, there is some mass. There's some actual coalescence of some type of mass, or at least an interference with the mass that's in the room.
So then because of the nature of the frequency, we're seeing the shadow before the form, and if we could move in frequency far enough, we would see the form itself. We would see what is producing the shadow.
No, I'm saying just look over to the wherever the source of the light is.
Yes.
Because it's the ghost is between the shadow and the light. Whatever the source of lighting is in the room, the ghost is there.
Well, you just made a lot of people not all that happy, probably.
No, because I think it suggests that ghosts are much more common phenomena than we think, than we have heretofore suspected,
well,
at least
then
with me.
The next big question for you, Ed, is going to be, obviously, what is a ghost? Is it the residual energy from a human life now gone, now extinguished, the physical life?
The question is the one that is begged, and I would like to look at that. I would like to look at that indeed, and I will.
Okay, so then do you agree that, and I think I heard you agree, that all of this high-tech stuff that we've got with these high frame rates and flicker rates and all the rest of it is what is enabling us now to see these shadows? Because I don't have a lot of reports, Ed, of people seeing shadows and ghosts, just of shadows, not of the form part. Now, you may say, well, okay, look between the source of light and where the shadow is for the ghost, but I don't have reports of people seeing the ghost, so...
Because they're attracted to the shadow itself, Art. The actual interference of the thing that is interfering with the light is not really easy to see. It's spread spectrum. It's spread out.
Well, then the shadow must be easier to see than the energy producing it.
That's what I'm saying. The shadow is easier to see than the cause of the shadow that's in between the light and the wall. That's why these things look like they're moving along the wall and disappearing, get bigger and larger. You ever read the book Flatland?
Yeah, well, yes.
Yeah, this is a whole world of a theoretical world where it's two-dimensional. All the creatures that live there are dots. Their whole world is lines.
Okay, another great commonality that people talk about with respect to these shadow people is when the humans seeing these things see them, the shadow people almost seem shocked or disturbed greatly that they have been seen, and they usually take off like crazy.
Well, it looks like they're taking off like crazy, but that's because the actual presence, the ghost itself, is moving away from the wall. And it looks like they disappear or it moves sideways, and that motion is amplified.
And the shadow, oh, well, sure it would be with a shadow.
And it looks like the shadow is moving like a bat out of hell, when in reality it's this three-dimensional presence that's creating the two-dimensional shadow that's moving away.
Uh-huh.
But the three-dimensional presence, which is the ghost, is not a normal mass that we're used to that causes a shadow, like a balloon, for instance. Think of a balloon. A balloon in the room, a child's balloon you blow up.
Yes.
A balloon casts the shadow on the wall.
That's right.
And a balloon is very light, is very membranous, and even if the balloon were transparent in color,
yes,
if it were transparent indeed, it would still cast a shadow, Art. And it might be difficult. The shadow may become more prominent on the wall than the balloon itself. You look over in the middle of
Absolutely.
The room and you would look right through the balloon and maybe not see it,
yep.
But you would indeed see the shadow.
Oh, that's a very good point.
And that's what these ghosts are. They're just out, and the way they are mass, they do have form, albeit not solid, but the spectrum that they're visible in, it's just outside the range of human vision.
Must
or the
be.
Dog can pick it up. That's why dogs track something across the room, and you're wondering, what is the dog looking at?
Yep.
And the dog puts its head back down and goes to sleep.
Cats certainly do it, too.
Yes, and birds also, by the way.
Well, yep. Okay, I guess I can buy all of that. I think the surprise would be, I mean, ghost reports, by virtue of their numbers, are very small, Ed, compared to the kind of numbers of shadow being reports that we've had. But if, in fact, what you say is true, and these shadow beings represent the shadows or the presence of ghosts, as yet to be defined by you, then there's a whole lot more ghosts than anybody ever thought.
And the value of technical remote viewing is to be able to qualify how a ghost arises, how it moves and what it is, and to be either set up the conditions that attract this phenomenon, or to go to a place, as we did in terms of the UFO events, to go to a hot zone where they're find it using technical remote viewing, where we can always go and see ghosts, and they are set up equipment.
Maybe almost everywhere is a hot zone for these things. That's, I guess, what I was saying, that they're so common that maybe they're virtually all around us, kind of like Mr. Escamilla's rods, which you did a reading on. And in a lot of ways, you said rods were real. Rods were virtually beings or life sharing the planet with us, yes?
Correct. They're some type of life form that we haven't detected.
But there are similarities to the way rods are detected or seen and the way shadow people are detected and or seen. There are some similarities, aren't there?
Yes. The one dissimilarity that I've noticed is the size. The presence of a ghost is usually a larger form.
True.
And it's much slower. It moves much slower.
True. Again,
a rod is small and moves fast.
That is quite correct.
But the spectra in which they are seen is generally overlaps, and that is low ultraviolet.
Right, you are again. All right, well.
So we can, knowing this and using technical remote viewing data results, we can design equipment which are cheap and point it in the right direction to make more measurements, not only to detect these things, but to record them and understand them more.
You're saying that shadow people are not, they do not represent a mind.
The shadow forms are the shadow of a ghost.
And
the ghost apparently does not have a mind.
A ghost does not have a mind.
It is not connected with the mind as we know it. There's an energy presence there. And this flies in the face of the idea that ghosts appear to be interacting with humans mind to mind. It looks like they're looking at you and moving away. But in fact, there's no mind there. There's an energy, sort of an emotional energy presence. But there's no thinking involved. The mind's gone, but the presence is there.
Huh.
So we can, by turning our attention to this phenomenon and actually studying it and sitting down with some technicians, we can either bait something and attract this. Well, who knows what they're attracted to, but we're going to find out using remote viewing. If they're not attracted to anything in particular, at least we can find the zones, the hot zones, where we can go and where the likelihood of seeing a ghost over and over and over again is very high.
Would you, if you could, Ed, try to trap one of these, whatever they are?
Yes, I would do that because I don't think it's unethical to do so, because we're not dealing with a living thing. If it were a living thing, I wouldn't do that. But here, we're just dealing with a phenomenon or an epiphenomenon, and I don't see any ethical problems whatsoever. Yes, I would put it in a box.
Although you cannot fully yet understand whether you might have an ethical dilemma until you really find out what a ghost is, though minus a mind, whatever it is, there still might be an ethical dilemma when you figure out what it is, right?
Maybe. But right now, I see it as just sort of an epiphenomenon.
But now, right now, no problem putting it in a box if you could.
I would do that.
You
yes.
think
I wouldn't
any...
do that with a person's soul.
Do you think there's any... well, do you think there's any chance, Ed, that you will be able to get one in a box?
We're going to have to study this. I'm going to call in my A-team. We're going to sit down and we're going to grab, for instance...
I think you would, Ed. We got to go. We will be back. We'll talk a little bit about the weather. I'm telling you, they're saying they're going underwater in Houston. It's just one current example. And by the way, our affiliate in Houston is off the air covering what's going on down there. That's how serious it is. But we'll talk about the weather and what's happening in a minute with Major Ed Dames. Well, a few minutes. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from June 8, 2001.
Though I smile, the tears inside were a burning. I wished him luck, and then he said goodbye. He was gone, but still his words kept returning. What else was there for me to do but cry? Would you believe that yesterday